Ryan snapped when Mildred laid the plan before the rest of the companions.
Oh no, no way. We don't know that this isn't part of some plan that Ethan has to improve his hunt.
Maybe it is, lover, but maybe we should play along even if that's true.
It was now dark outside, and the companions were eating after showering and resting from their earlier exertions. There was a sec guard outside the hospital, but a quick rec from Jack had established that they couldn't be heard if they kept their voices low, which was hard in current circumstances, as tempers were short-fused with frustration and exhaustion. A good night's rest was what they needed before the hunt, not an argument like this, which was why Christy was trying to calm him. Since Dean had been taken by Sharona, Ryan had been on edge. It wasn't that he had made any particularly bad decisions, it was more that he had been volatile, inclined to explode in anger, where previously he would have been calm, able to step back and to look at the overall picture before planning action.
Why? Why the fuck should we do what this girl says, when it may be designed to lead us into trouble?
Because I fear that we have little other option.
Doc understood only too well the pain of loss, perhaps more so than any of the other companions could, certainly more than he wished them to ever know. And he understood, as did Christy, that it was imperative to keep Ryan calm.
It seems to me that if we are being led in a certain direction, then it would benefit us to try to hoodwink the Baron, to let him think that we have fallen for his simple-minded ruse, and to lull him into a false sense of security before striking back at the moment that he least expects it.
Ryan gazed at Doc, and a slow smile spread across his previously angry and stress-tightened visage.
Fire blast, Doc. That makes a lot of sense. And it's a hell of a lot more sense than I've been able to muster. I guess we can't lose that way. If she's genuine, then we've got an ally. And if she's a fraud, then we just string the bastard along until we're in a position to hit back.
Ryan looked around his people, as if seeing them for the first time in a long while.
Look, there are no excuses for my behavior. I've been somewhere else when I should have been with you, and it could have got us all killed. Whatever happens now, it's not going to get me any closer to Dean. There's nothing I can do about that, except trust that one day I'll see him again. But I've got you people, and you've been with me all the way. And I guess it's overdue for me to say thanks. Now, we need to whip this bastard Baron's ass and get away from this pestle in one piece. All of us. Mildred, go get that healer.
Oh, thank heavens for that. I thought we were never going to get you back, Ryan.
She left the room where they had been talking and fetched Michaela. The spiky-haired girl, who seemed far too young to be involved in a situation like this, had been waiting nervously in a ward at the end of the corridor. Baron Ethan had set up an alternative clinic for the citizens of Pleasantville, staffed by assistants who had learned their skills from Michaela. This meant that, for the 5 days leading up to the beginning of the hunt, he had been able to isolate the companions, and most specifically JB, from the rest of the Ville, and also to isolate Michaela. She wasn't guilty of being the Baron's agent, but she could understand why the companions were suspicious. After all, until this point, she had been careful about concealing her desire to escape Pleasantville to avoid Ethan's wrath. She had been keeping her head down and going about her business without rippling the waters. So, of course, her sudden desire to help them would seem suspicious. She was sure that some of her actions had alerted Ethan to her true feelings, which was part of the reason why she had been isolated with the companions. They were her chance to escape this oppressive ill. If she blew it, then she felt sure that her own life would be short after they had departed. All this passed through her mind, along with as many scenarios as she could imagine where things went wrong, and she was left to face the wrath of the Baron alone. She knew that Greyhorse had always desired her, and that Ethan didn't allow his senior sec man to have relationships with other women in what he termed executive positions. But none of that mattered. The only thing she desired was to leave this place, and with these people. But first, they had to believe her. The door to the ward opened, and Michaela looked up to see Mildred.
Come with me. We've made a decision.
Michaela rose from the bed and followed the physician to where the companions had discussed her proposal. As she came upon them, she could see immediately that they didn't wholly trust her. It was Ryan who was the most open and readable. His icy blue stare was focused on her, his jaw set firm. The long scar puckering his cheekbone seemed whiter than usual against the weather-beaten tan of the surrounding skin.
Sit down.
Michaela chose a position where she could see all of them. She looked around, knowing that her apprehension had to be obvious. As her eyes met Christie's, the titian-haired beauty gave her a quizzical stare, and her hair relaxed slightly. Ryan noticed this, and the two of them exchanged glances, his eyebrow raised in a mute question. Christie's almost imperceptible nod made up his mind.
I'm going to be honest with you. None of us knew whether to believe you. For our own reasons, some of us have had impaired judgment of late, and where we could always trust our instincts before, it's been a little difficult now. And let's face it, your story could be another ruse of Ethan's, trying to get someone in our confidence.
I understand that. Don't think I hadn't thought of that one myself.
What we were going to do was agree to what you proposed, but not go the whole way with you. We'd play along, but hold back, so we could chew you if you were a spy. And turn the whole thing back on that son of a diseased, gaudy slut.
That's as good a name for him as I've ever heard anyone come up with.
The thing is, we were only going along with you to a certain point, and we weren't going to let you know that.
So why has that changed?
She was puzzled, and she wasn't alone. Jack had noticed the exchange between Ryan and Christie, but Mildred and Doc hadn't been able to see it, and so were also looking perplexed.
One of those things. Just something about the way you are right now tells me, and tells Christie, that you mean it. One of those things you can't explain, you just know. And we haven't been listening to those instincts lately. We're going to have to if we're going to get out of this in one piece. All of us.
I won't let you down. I can't. I'd be letting myself down, too.
Then we better get some rest. You can bet that bastard's going to have us up early in the morning to prepare for this goddamn hunt. It might not begin until the sun is high, but if he's got people paying big time, then they're going to want to view the merchandise, and he's going to want to show it off.
Ryan got it right. It was still early the next morning when the door to the hospital was thrown open and Grey Horse entered, accompanied by a party of 5 sec men. Included among them were 2 that Ryan recognized from the hunting party that had initially brought them to the Ville. One was the giant who had accompanied Jack. He was the only one who had the grace to look embarrassed about what had happened. He sought out the albino and spoke in low tones so that they wouldn't be overheard.
Sorry it has to be this way.
Not your fault.
Don't mean I have to like it. One thing, though.
What?
The hunt goes through some rough territory with mutie fuckers. Normally they avoid us, but maybe if you stir them up as you go, they won't be so easy on those following you. See what I mean?
Good tip. Thanks.
Better than nothing.
Get these prey out into the sec compound so the hunters can size them up.
Jack kept his secret to himself. There was no need to risk any of the other sec overhearing. He could tell Ryan and the others when they were alone. But he was grateful for the comradeship shown by the giant sec man, and he figured that maybe Pleasantville could be a good place if Ethan's influence were removed. Maybe they could do something about that if they got out of this in one piece. There was no time for further thought, as the companions were hustled out of the hospital, leaving JB behind with Mildred and Michaela. As the door closed on them, leaving a sec guard outside, the 2 women exchanged hopeful glances and resolve for the tasks they had to undertake. Meanwhile, the 4 companions who would be the prey in this lucrative hunt were marched across the Ville to the sec compound. Through a throng of Ville dwellers that had lined the streets with stalls and banners, turning the event almost into a carnival. A carnival of carnage with a scent for blood in the air. There was cheering as they approached each section of the crowd, and they were greeted as conquering heroes rather than those about to die. Jack eyed the crowds balefully.
Creepy fuckers.
Perhaps. But you have to see that they view this in a completely different way from us. Of necessity, actually. We can only see that this is some kind of barbaric blood sport in which we, the unwilling participants, are to be hunted down for the pleasure of a few rich and bloodthirsty barons. Which, I may add, is the way these things seem to have been since time immemorial. Need I mention the Romans, the feudal systems of medieval Europe? The point is that the people of this Ville do not see things in that way. To them, we are heroes. Our baiting at the hands of these barons and traders will bring in enough jack and trade to ensure that their children eat and that they are fed, clothed, and warmed for another year. Yes, in a bizarre manner, we are heroes to them.
He nodded emphatically, probably to himself, glad that he had made his point. The other 3, and some of the sec guard who had overheard what the old man had to say, looked at him askance as they continued on their way.
Have a long way to say they're glad we're about to get chilled.
That wasn't actually what I was trying to say.
Sound like that to me.
That wasn't the point at all.
What is it with you two? We're about to be hunted like wild animals, and you're arguing about nothing?
It isn't nothing, as you put it, my dear. If we are to understand why this is happening to us...
Doc, we don't have to understand why it's happening. We just have to know that it is. Now shut the hell up and save your energy. Ryan swung around to face the man who laughed. A blonde with a long, plaited beard and a heavily developed musculature. You think something's funny, scumbag?
Yeah, I reckon you all are. You're about to be chill meat, and all you can do is argue. Now shut up and get moving.
He prodded Ryan with a muzzle of the Glock he was carrying. A red mist of rage descended over Ryan, and the warrior, who could be so calm and calculating in these situations, biding his time for revenge, disappeared. He was replaced by a frustrated man who had reached his breaking point.